like poetry, and this is where I talk about it. Welcome back to my OGs. Hey to my newbies. Hope y'all have been taking care of yourself and loving on yourself these past 2 weeks. I'm so excited because I don't have to start this podcast by explaining why I've been away, because I'm actually doing this in a timely manner. Proud of me. So 2 weeks ago, we explored Asada Shakur's Ode to Hope and Belief in her namesake autobiography. This week, I thought it'd be a perfect time to introduce the lovely Sonia Sanchez, given it is her birthday this Wednesday. Virgo, stand up. Y'all know who you are, and you won't let us forget it. Terrifying people. We do stand you, though. The first time I heard of Sonia Sanchez was actually, and I'm ashamed to say this, when I read Ta-Nehisi Coates' Between the World and Me. Now, that book came out, what, maybe 2015? So it's really depressing to say that I've really just recently heard of Sonia Sanchez within the last 5 years, because she's been doing great work for a very long time. But here we are. We all arrive at places at different times. Here we are. But he quoted her poem Malcolm as prologue to part one of Between the World and Me. She writes, and he quotes, "Do not speak to me of martyrdom, of men who die to be remembered on some perished day. I do not speak in dying, though I too shall die, and violets like castanets will echo me." That really did something to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was good stuff. But even with that, what really brought me to Sonia Sanchez was a paragraph in Between the World and Me, which Coates describes the profound diversity of the diaspora that exists on Howard University's campus, which just so happens to be my alma mater, in case nobody knew. He writes, "I first witnessed this power out on the yard, the communal green space in the center of campus where students gathered, and I saw everything I knew of my black self multiplied out into seemingly endless variations. There are the scions of Nigerian aristocrats in their business suits, giving dap to bald-headed Qs and purple windbreakers and tan Tims. There were the high yellow progeny of AME preachers debating the clerics of Osar Set. There were California girls turned Muslim, born anew, in hijab and long skirt. There were Ponzi schemers and Christian cultists, tabernacle fanatics and mathematical geniuses. It was like listening to 100 different renditions of redemption song, each in a different color and key. And overlaying all of this was the history of Howard itself. I knew that I was literally walking in the footsteps of all the Toni Morrisons and Zora Neale Hurstons, of all the Sterling Browns and Kenneth Clarks who'd come before. The Mecca, the vastness of black people across space-time, could be experienced in a 20-minute walk across campus. I saw this vastness in the students chopping it up in front of the Frederick Douglass Memorial Hall, where Muhammad Ali had addressed their fathers and mothers in defiance of the Vietnam War. I saw its epic sweep in the students next to Ira Aldridge Theater, where Donnie Hathaway had once sung, where Donald Byrd had once assembled his flock. The students came out with their saxophones, trumpets, and drums, played My Favorite Things or Someday My Prince Will Come. Some of the other students were out on the grass in front of Elaine Locke Hall, in pink and green, chanting, singing, stomping, clapping, stepping. Some of them came up from Tubman Quadrangle with their roommates and wrote for Double Dutch. Some of them came down from Drew Hall with their caps cocked and their backpacks slung through one arm, then fell into gorgeous ciphers of beatbox and rhyme. Some of the girls sat by the flagpole with bell hooks and Sonia Sanchez in their straw totes. Some of the boys, with their new Yoruba names, beseeched these girls by citing France Fanon. Some of them studied Russian. Some of them worked in bone labs. They were Panamanian. They were Bayesian. And some of them were from places I had never heard of. But all of them were hot and incredible, exotic even, though we hailed from the same tribe. I loved this passage. It perfectly summarizes the safe space Howard provides to those who attended to lean into ourselves. Perhaps for the first time in our lives, whatever we were, whatever our interests were, we could exist as not the first or the only, but as one of many, and there's a power in that existence. We were safe to create an identity that existed beyond the armor we wore facing the white world. We were safe to create an identity beyond isolation, being one of one. In Coates' imagery, Sonia Sanchez's and Bell Hook's name caught my eye. I loved this beautiful image of radiant Howard women sitting underneath the flagpole at the heart of the yard and reading Black women to one another. I wanted to feel a part of that again, so I bought the book that featured Sanchez's poem, Malcolm. It's called Shake Loose My Skin. It's a compilation of her poetry. It was published in 1999, and it compiles 30 years worth of Sanchez's work. Sanchez's long, storied career as a poet has quite the backstory. Sanchez, who was born in Birmingham, Alabama, developed a stutter when she was little after the loss of her grandmother, who at the time was her primary caretaker. That trauma made her more introverted and shy, so she took to reading and writing to find solace in her world. She eventually moved to Harlem to live with her father, his wife, and her siblings, and it was then that she began to overcome her stutter. She studied at both Hunter College and NYU, and it was during her time at NYU that she became invested in the Black Arts Movement, which was an effort to revive, renew, and elevate Black art and artists during the 1960s and 70s. She was also very active in the Black Liberation Movements, joining the Nation of Islam at one point, but leaving after 3 years due to conflicting views on women's rights. Sanchez is a staunch supporter of women's rights. Over the years of her publishing poetry, Sanchez has become most known for her melding of musical and traditional poetry formats, like the haiku, in an effort to highlight the Black English vernacular, or AAVE, also known as Ebonics. She combines both sound and image to paint vivid pictures within her poetry of Black American life. Consider her, I guess, line, that would be the best way to say it, her line, "Violets like castanets will echo me." There's this juxtaposition of this vivid purple paired with the recognizable clacking sound of the castanets. The poem I'm going to read you today is chock full with similarly beautiful musical imagery that Sanchez's writing often lives in. It's called Under a Soprano Sky, and it's one of her most beloved. It goes, 1. Once I lived on pillars in a greenhouse, bordered by lilacs that rocked voices into weeds. I bled an owl's blood, shredding the grass until I rocked in a choir of worms. Obscene with hands, I wooed the world, with thumbs while yo-yos hummed. Was it an unborn lacquer I peeled? The woods, tall as waves, sang in mixed tongues that loosened the scalp, and my bones, wrapped in white dust, return to echo in my thighs. I hear a pulse wandering somewhere, on vague embankments. Oh, are my hands breathing? I cannot smell the nerves. I saw the sun, ripening green stones for fields. Oh, have my eyes run down? I cannot taste my birth. 2. Now as I move, mouth quivering with silks, my skin runs soft with eyes. Descending into my legs, I follow obscure birds, purchasing the orthopedic wings. The air is late this summer. I peel the spine and flood the earth with adolescence. Oh, who will pump these breasts? I cannot waltz my tongue. Under a soprano sky, a woman sings, lovely as chandeliers. Now, my interpretation is limited because of the very surreal nature of the poem, but I've always read it to be some kind of an ode to her evolving vessel. In this life, we're often tasked with getting familiar with our own internal, the universe that exists inside of us. But the skin we exist in, our vessel, is a complicated matter as well, particularly for women. It can become a lifelong endeavor to accept its existence as it is, and each time that we might accept its form, skin is shed and a new form appears. To watch it bloom and blossom and shed and shrink over a lifetime is a fascinating, often terrifying, and, if honored, beautiful thing to bear witness to. Sanchez stanzas and lines, ones like, I peel the spine and flood the earth with adolescence, feel like a nod to that evolution. But I also once read another person's interpretation that Sanchez was describing the time she spent alone, happily and willingly. Once I lived on pillars in a greenhouse, bordered by lilacs that rocked voices into weeds. Now, later in life, as it continues and she grows older, she wants companionship. I peel the spine and flood the earth with adolescence. Oh, who will pump these breasts? I cannot waltz my tongue. This interpretation initially felt so off to me. Under a soprano sky never read wistful to me. It felt, truthfully, so much more powerful than a poem about wanting. But growing into my own womanhood has taught me about the power of wanting, about having needs, and being unafraid of them, and in fact, so emboldened by them to express them out loud. There is nothing weak or small about wanting in this life, despite what women, particularly black women, are often taught about our existence, that it's better when we don't want, don't ask, don't need, don't wish, but are simply brutally and unwaveringly independent. But like many good poets, Sanchez has left us without a definitive interpretation of Under a Soprano Sky. So mine and the one I just described are thrown into the mysterious black hole of the poetic unknown. And for this week's poetry prose, I'm asking you to do the same. I want you to form your own interpretation of Under a Soprano Sky. Reread or re-listen to the poem and write down what you see. Ask yourself, who is the narrator? What are they experiencing? Who are they speaking to? What message are they trying to send? If you feel so inclined, as always, share with me in the email I provide in the show notes. Anywho, folks, that's really all for today. Fairly brief episode, I suppose. Remember to follow Poet Breathe Now on Instagram at poet_breathenow. I put a lot of cool, hopefully not too random stuff up there. And of course, check out the show notes for really cool stuff that I put in there. Actually, it's just like links that could be interesting to you if you want to dig a little deeper. Thanks for tuning in. You'll be hearing from me in 2 weeks, okay? See y'all.